With the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. The gospel of today should sound a little familiar because it was similar to the gospel we read last week, the first Sunday of Atur, and this is the second Sunday. And as you know, this is the month that precedes the month of Kiyak, in which we celebrate the incarnation of the Lord, or the coming of the Son of God, and taking flesh and becoming man. So in order to prepare for the Logos, or the Word of God, the church reads for us in the readings of this month, focus about the Word of God, and how is it that we're going to receive it. And these first two Sundays, we see the different types of ground, and the Lord explained this parable in other passages, and He said, the sower is God who sows the seed, the seed is the Word of God, and the ground is our heart. And the question for all of us when we read this is, which one of these different types of ground is my heart? Is it the ready heart, or is it the thorny heart, or the stony heart? What is my heart when I hear the Word of God? One of them was the stony ground. It says, some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of the earth. And Saint John's Gospel, the Lord is quoting from Isaiah, and He says what? He has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. So He speaks that when the Lord Christ comes, there will be people on earth with this kind of hardened heart. And this wasn't, of course, the only when the time of the Lord came, but there was always this case. There, people, when they heard the Word of God, it fell upon hard hearts, very hard. And the Word didn't soften the heart, but it, you know, continued to make the heart harder. So I'd like to speak a little bit today, this morning, about this hardened heart. And we can assess, okay, do I have one of these hardened hearts? And if so, how is it that it can be transformed into a soft heart? So what are some of the causes for us to have this hard heart, or for some to have this hard heart? The first thing, I believe, is the accumulation of sin. You know, in our bodies, you know, if we eat very badly and we have high cholesterol, we can get something in our blood vessels called atherosclerosis, which means that the lining of the wall, it gets very hard. And this is not good, right? It causes all sorts of, you know, conditions for us. And it can ultimately lead us to death. Similarly, the same thing. When we leave sin in our life unchecked and unconfessed, it can lead to this hardening of a heart. When we don't confess our sins, it desensitizes us to the consciousness of that sin. So if I don't confess, then I continuing saying the sin or doing the sin, and the sin no longer bothers me anymore. I say it, you know, as if it's, you know, normal. This is very common, for example, with cursing and foul language. In the beginning, you'll find when somebody begins saying foul language, they're upset, they feel bad, they feel guilty. But as this continues, and I continue to say them and hear them in the types of music or media that I'm consuming, and I hang around people who say these kinds of things, I become desensitized. And I begin to say the words, and I'll hear in confession, when I say these without even thinking about it. And it's the first thing that comes into my mind. It's good that you're confessing this, right? Because this is the beginning to make this not something that we're desensitized to. Also, its accumulation over time makes it harder and harder to recognize and to eradicate. It's just like, you know, one of the there's a story of the monastics, where a disciple is walking with his teacher, and he told him, you know, I'm struggling with this sin. And he was explaining it like, he was telling him that it's very hard for him to relieve himself of this sin. And he began to explain to him and told him, okay, as we're walking, I want you to try to pull out the flower that's in the bush here. So he pulls it out very easily. And then he goes a little bit further, and he says, okay, I want you to pull out this shrub. So it took a little bit more force, and he pulled out the shrub with a little bit of strength. And then he kept going, and he said, okay, I want you to pull out the tree. So he tries to pull the tree. Of course, the tree doesn't move, right? And he says, so is the sin that is not confessed and is not revealed. Its roots get deeper and deeper, And as the longer we wait without repentance, the harder it is for us to pull out this sin. Regular confession and repentance is vital to a cleansed heart. Another reason why perhaps some have a hard heart is pride and arrogance. And we see this very clearly in the story of Pharaoh before Moses and God and the 10 plagues. It says in Obadiah, it says, "The pride of your heart has deceived you, you who dwell in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high. You say to your heart, 'Who will bring me down to the ground?'" This is what Pharaoh said. Who's going to bring me down to the ground? Who can stand before me? Certainly not this Moses. And even after miracle, he got himself more angry and more angry, but he never heeded the word of God or that of Moses. God oftentimes humbles the proud to reveal his authority, ultimately to save them. All of the 10 plagues in the people of the time of the Egyptians at the time, the purpose of them was to save the people and to get them to know that the God of Moses is the true God and not the gods that they worshipped. This was the purpose, right? It wasn't simply to show God's mighty hand. Yes, God's mighty hand was shown, but the purpose was to get them to believe in the God that Moses is preaching. We see the same thing in King Nebuchadnezzar, who after, you know, Daniel had rebuked him, he confessed and says, you know, your God is the true God. But then he went back to his prideful ways. And in response to this, God warned him and said, okay, do good and do charity and repent, and I'll have mercy. If not, you'll be like one of the beasts in the wilderness. And certainly he did. He made him have like some psychological disorder, and he went into the wilderness and behaved like a wild animal. And the people stripped him of his authority and said, this man can't rule over us. And he stayed like that for some time. Pride, my beloved, blinds us to God's will. It puts within us the seeds of independence. I don't need God anymore. The third reason perhaps why we have a hard heart is being consumed by worldly cares. Life's, and when I see here worldly cares, I don't mean like the passions. I'm just speaking about just the normal things we all have to do in life, you know, from work, taking care of the house, the children, and so on, and different services in the church and so on. So it's just this busyness of life and all the responsibilities entailed. Though they are not sinful, but they can dominate our life and our time and distract us from God. In Psalm 39, he says, "Surely they busy themselves in vain." They busy themselves in vain. It's not saying here that our responsibilities are vain, but we busy ourselves to the extent where we ignore the things that are of greater importance. And that's our salvation, right? So that's why it says that it's in vain. The spiritual way will become foreign. It makes us unresponsive to God's voice. We're just very busy, very busy. We don't give any time. And the most common excuse we hear is, I don't have time. There is time. But just maybe there's not the priority, we don't prioritize that time with God. There was a wise man who once said, if the devil can't hinder us or can't hinder our relationship with God by making us immoral to sin, he'll simply make us busy. And he's content with that. Even with it could be with something that seems to be that's good, right? Whether it's serving our homes or serving the church and so on, these things are good. But if it takes away from our ability to be able to have a connection with him and to pray, then this is something that it needs to be adjusted. Also, the pleasures of life can harden the heart. The heart that is devoted to entertainment and worldly stimulation loses its focus on God. And God knows the challenge that this poses nowadays with all the different types of technology. It seems like they're all there to keep us distracted and busy and not focused on God. Listen to how St. Maximus the Confessor, how he looks at these pleasures of keeping ourselves entertained and how they affect the soul. He says, the soul is wax, the wax like we make from candles. If it cleaves to God, is like wax if it is cleaved to God, but clay if it cleaves to matter, the things. Which does depend on its own will and purpose. Clay hardens in the sun while wax grows soft. Similarly, every soul that, despite God's admonitions, deliberately cleaves to the material world, hardens like clay and drives itself to destruction, just as Pharaoh did. But every soul that cleaves to God is softened like wax, and receiving the impress and stamp of divine realities, it becomes in spirit the dwelling place of God. So when we prioritize the earthly pleasures in life, then our heart becomes hard like clay, and clay is very fragile, right? But then when we give time to God, and this is not what I'm living for, but I'm living for God, then, and I'm in His presence, then my heart becomes soft like wax. And He says that this will become like the dwelling place of God. Also, rebellion can give us a hardened heart. Rebellion is going against the commandments or going against the standard of the church and what the Bible has set for us. There's this rebellion. We say go right, and I just want to go left. Why? I don't know. Right? You have nowadays people, like, you'll see this all over the place, where they dye their hair different colors. You ask them why, and they say, oh, just because. They say, this is how we're supposed to look, or how normal, and this is, no, I want to do the opposite. Right? Despite the people of Israel themselves witnessing to the glory of God in the 10 plagues, when they came out of Egypt and into the wilderness, their heart themselves became hardened, and they began to rebel against God. And in Psalm 95, the psalmist warns us of falling into the same thing as the people of Israel. He says, "Do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the days of trial in the wilderness." So we saw in the wilderness the people of Israel began to complain about God. They persisted in their complaining and disobedience, and God sent them also, you know, different hardships for them to understand, okay, no, we're here and we're protected by God's hand. We don't need to desire to go back to Egypt again in bondage. He came to free us. Sometimes this rebellion, or most of the time, or oftentimes all the time, this rebellion hardens a person's heart. Lastly, the perceived negative experience with God. There's really no negative, true negative experience with God, but sometimes it's perceived as such. How so? This can be like when we pray to Him. There's a certain, and He answers and says no, or seemingly doesn't answer at all. We take this as a rejection, as a disappointment, whatever it is, and we have a certain unmet desire that wasn't fulfilled by God, so we resent Him and we stay away from Him. We may mistakenly view God as being indifferent for us or towards us, forgetting that He compassionately cares for us, and that's why He came and saved us. Even from the very beginning, He revealed Himself to us. Satan will come to us in these times, and he'll tell us, you know, in our ear that, you know what, you're always a failure, God will never accept you, and you'll always fall, so why fight? He puts in our ear the thoughts of despair so that we never return to God. Why? Because I had an expectation of God that wasn't met, so therefore He puts this in my ear. And this can harden the heart, can store up resentment and bitterness towards God. I have somebody maybe who's sick, and I pray to God, and God doesn't heal them, and they pass, and they go to heaven. Then people can put this resentment in their heart for years and years and years, even the rest of their life, because it had an expectation of God to act and He didn't do according to their will. So how is it that we can remedy this hard heart and transform it into a soft heart? Number one, as I mentioned earlier, is repentance and confession. When I reveal the sin, this softens the heart. Regular confession breaks this cycle of sin and opens one's heart to God's grace. If you remember when David had sinned with Bathsheba and killed her husband Uriah, there was no remorse immediately afterwards, and he carried on his life normal. And nothing happened up until Nathan, when he came to him and he gave him the story that accused him, and then finally he said to him, "You are the man. You're the man." And David judged himself and he said, "I have sinned against the Lord." So we see that regular confession, it softens the heart when I can say, "I'm the man. I'm the person who did X, Y, and Z." When I can take responsibility for my sin and said, "I've made this mistake, forgive me." But oftentimes we push it on somebody else. "I did this because so-and-so made me do this." By the way, nobody controls anybody else. Nobody controls anybody. God certainly doesn't control us. So why would we think that other people, we can control other people and other people can control us? No. Everyone's responsible for their reactions and how they behave, regardless of whatever the stimulus is. This is in my control. I'm not here to make anybody do anything, and nor can anybody make me do anything. It's all mine. And this is what made David so great, is when he was rebuked, he said, "I'm the man. I'm the one. It's me. If I've sinned, forgive me." It's just like, you know, if we think about sin as like a buildup or a clog in a pipe, right? The bigger it gets, the harder it is for the water to go through. Once that clog is removed, the water flows freely and without any hindrance. The same thing that happens in confession, right? The grace of God will then flow in me freely without any hindrance once I confess and take everything out. Some people will confess and they'll keep one or two things and say, "I'm embarrassed," or "I can't say them." The water begins to flow. The grace begins to flow, but it only flows at its full capacity when everything is removed. When there's nothing no longer in the heart that hinders my relationship with God, then His grace can flow within me freely. Also, connecting with God in prayer. Back to the example of David. During the time from when he sinned until the time where Nathan rebuked him, we don't hear any of this time that David prayed. There was this silence, right, between him and God. There wasn't this connection. And this happens. You've experienced it and I've experienced it. The times in our life where we don't pray and read the Bible and we feel this disconnect from God, we see things in our life tend to go south, right? Whether it be, you know, getting in arguments and fights, or getting in trouble, doing things perhaps we wouldn't do, or starting, you know, a negative behavior or addiction. But prayer restores that communion once again. Prayer invites God to make this transformation in my heart through His grace. Look what St. Isaac the Syrian, he says, "Silence with prayer is the beginning of purity of heart." Silence in prayer is the beginning of purity in heart. Why? Because when I pray, the pure one is in my presence. And when He's in my presence, my heart will reflect His. Do you remember Moses when he went up to be in the presence of God? The light of God reflected on Moses when he came down, to the point where the people were blinded by the light that was on Moses' face. So they had to put a veil over his face. Simply being in the presence of God is a transformation. Even if you think that I stand there and I gain nothing from prayer, you gain something from prayer. Just simply being in His presence, even if it's just in silence. Also, regular exposure to God's Word. The more that I expose myself to God's Word, reading it, listening to sermons, listening to Bible studies, and so on. Abba Pieman says, "The Word of God is soft and our heart is very hard, but the man who hears the Word of God often opens his heart." As St. Paul also said, faith comes by hearing. So when we hear, transforms our heart, and we believe, and when we believe, this is the engine and catalyst to the will, right? And for us to begin and to act. Anybody who serves in the church, or anybody who serves other people in some capacity, what motivates them to go from the mind to the action? It's the heart, right? Once it goes in my mind and I'm convinced, my heart then transforms that into the will, and then I begin to act. Meditating on Scripture transforms the heart, bringing it into alignment with God's will. Lastly is partaking of the Eucharist. The Lord Christ said, "He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him." The Eucharist reunites us with God bodily. In prayer, we unite with Him in spirit, but in the Eucharist, we unite with Him in our flesh and in our body. It's like a vine who is nourished by, or the vine who nourishes its branches. The Eucharist also sustains and nourishes those who partake of Him, right? When we partake of Him, we take of His grace, of His power, of His authority, and we take it into ourselves. So this will soften our heart. My beloved, there is a small challenge, though, when it comes to softening our heart. And this challenge is the enemy. The enemy will fight us. He wants us to have a hard heart because it's easily broken. And when he can break it, then he's won. So he will fight us as we try to challenge ourselves to relieve ourselves of this hardened heart. Remember what St. Peter said, "Be sober and vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." So he'll be on the prowl, trying to spoil every opportunity you get to pray, to listen to a sermon, to read scripture, to do a kind of act of service or charity. He will be there trying to spoil all of these efforts. But we must be persistent. But when we're persistent, then we see what happens, like in the story of St. Moses the Strong or St. Augustine. That persistence eventually leads to purification and holiness and righteousness and virtue and so on. No one said it comes easy. But when we persist, this is when we grow. I'll close by a verse from Psalm 95. The psalmist says, "Today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts." If you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. Moses hardened his heart when he heard the voice. When I hear a voice of rebuke, when I hear an invitation for repentance, when I hear the call of the church for us to come early to participate in the prayers and partake of the Eucharist, when I get, you know, a message or a call from a servant or from Abuna or somebody telling, "Hey, come back to church," or "Come to church," or "Come early," or "Do this service," or "Do that," don't harden your heart. Let our hearts be soft, like that of David, that when he was rebuked, he confessed, and immediately, you know, he returned to God and began his prayer life again. And this is the one who said what? That David is the man after God's own heart, because it was soft. It was willing to yield and willing to accept God and His grace working in him. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen.